paramedic here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rexrode. 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. Robbie and Rexrode brought to you by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Charles Robinson will be with us later in the program, coming up at 8 o'clock. Normally joined by a Predators coach on Thursday mornings. Andrew Burnett will join us tomorrow morning at 7:30. Preds are off today. They're traveling to Buffalo. So Burnett will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Joe, we ended the show yesterday with Kuharski, kind of looking at the Super Bowl matchup with Kansas City and Philadelphia. And the question came up. Like, what does Patrick Mahomes have to do to surpass Tom Brady as the greatest quarterback, greatest football player of all time? Now, he is seemingly well along in that path. I mean, he's talking about a guy that's got 3 championships already. He's going for number 4 here in a couple weeks. And already, when you look at some of the all-time postseason passing numbers and wins and all these things, I mean, the guy's 29 years old, and he's already either at the top of a lot of those lists or near the top of a lot of those lists. So, off to an unbelievable start. He's been the starter for 7 years in Kansas City, and the worst finish they've ever had was losing in the AFC title game, which they've done twice, one to Brady and the Patriots, and then one to Joe Burrow, and he also lost to Brady in the Super Bowl against Tampa Bay. So, other than that, he's finished with a Super Bowl championship in every year of his career with an opportunity to do it again. So, look, there's a very real possibility that when everything is said and done with Patrick Mahomes' career, that we consider him the greatest player of all time. Now, the problem with these discussions, you know, people bring this up all the time of like, what does so-and-so have to do to be the great? Like, these are always subjective discussions, right? So,
yes.
You're never going to have like some hard-line final answer on this, but I ask you, in as it relates to the path that Mahomes is on right now, what more does he have to accomplish in his career, in your mind, for you to consider him the greatest of all time?
Well, I'm glad you brought up Kuharski, because the show ended before I could properly skewer him, because of course he's, well, you know, it's got to be the 7, he's got to pass the 7, according to Kuharski. That's what Brady has to, or that's what Mahomes has to do. But then with Jordan LeBron, well, I just think he's a better player. Oh, okay. Now, I understand. You know,
now, Jordan also has more championships.
Jordan has more championships, but that wasn't his criteria. It was like, well, I just think he's a better player, because we were also talking longevity, right? Longevity has to matter. Longevity does have to matter. There's a lot of – I mean, there are a lot of great players who just – their careers get cut short, and usually it's because of injury in this sport. So, I just disagree that he has to have, does he have to have 8 rings to be considered the best over Brady? I disagree. What does he have to do? I don't know. I don't think he's there yet, because that last championship for Brady, to me, is a difference maker. I know, you know, you expected me to come on this segment and just rip Brady, but
I'm going to get your thoughts here in a minute on Bill Belichick trying to rename the Lombardi Trophy after Brady.
Now that is, hey, Bill. Get spring practice ready for the Tar Heels, okay? Yeah. Well, get those cones out on the field, buddy. We don't need to hear your thoughts on the Brady Trophy.
I think they should rename it after Tom. Tom's won 7 of them. Thanks, Bill.
Yeah. You know, Bill, I really enjoyed you in media, but now it is you need to get out there and get in the portal, okay? You need to get in the portal and get some players. Yeah, that's stupid. The Lombardi Trophy. Again, we don't need 10-minute freaking quarters in the NBA. The Lombardi Trophy is a very good name for the Trophy. It's what we're used to. It's tradition. Let's go with some tradition. Can we? But no, Brady, to me, Brady going to Tampa Bay, because look, we've talked about this before. Man, when they lost that game to the Titans and, you know, they did nothing on offense all night, and it really that whole year, I get why the Patriots were ready to move on. I was like, yeah, okay, he's done. He's at the end of the rope here. It's been an incredible run. What he did in Tampa Bay after that was incredible. And so that to me is like, I'm not saying that Mahomes has to have like some second act in, you know, with the Giants and win a Super Bowl with them, and then it's like, oh, now you. But I'm just saying that makes it, that's awfully impressive of what Brady did. So my whole thing with the GOAT, you know, again, it's like shorter careers. I mean, I still think that Peyton Manning at his best is the best quarterback I've ever seen in the NFL. That's just, again, like you said, it's subjective. It's totally subjective. I would go back to a few of his seasons around 05, 06, right in that range, 04, 05, you know. I think that's the best quarterback I've ever seen in the NFL. And, you know, there are numbers to, you know, back that up in terms of his performance. He also had great weapons, by the way. So, you know, I mean, Peyton's Harrison, you know, Edgerrin James, Dallas Clark, Reggie Wayne. I mean, that's probably a better collection than Brady ever had. But for Mahomes, it's just, I mean, if Mahomes gets to like five and he ends up playing long enough to have more passing yards and all that stuff, then I think it'll be a healthy debate.
I think it will be. Look, he's undeniably on that track. Now, there are some people, and I don't necessarily subscribe to this, but I have heard this. Some people say he'll never pass Brady because they played twice in the playoffs and Brady got him both times. Like, Brady got him with the Patriots in the AFC title game for a Super Bowl in New England, and then Brady got him in the Super Bowl with Tampa Bay.
Yeah, they don't play one-on-one.
Yeah, like, I don't necessarily subscribe to that. I understand, like, the head-to-head stuff, but it's not basketball. Like, it's, you're on different sides of the ball. They're not playing against each other. So, like, I don't necessarily subscribe to that. I do think, you know, somebody brings this up, Alex, on the text line. It's an interesting point. Like, at some point, Mahomes needs to do it with a different offensive play caller. Him and Andy Reid's a great combo, but Brady showed he could do it in a different setting. You know, at some point, he's probably going to have to. Like, Andy Reid's not going to – I would be surprised if Andy Reid is coaching for the rest of Mahomes' career.
Yeah.
And maybe he is, but I would be surprised if that's the case. Is that a prerequisite? No. Because, look, Andy Reid is a great coach. I think Bill Belichick was a great coach. But I think it's also become clear that the Brady was the most important part of the Brady-Belichick dynamic.
The players. Like, I mean, we're sitting here, yeah. And I don't know why. I'm not trying to take shots at Stilley, but he's sitting here like trying to make it like Reid is more important. Reid benefits from Mahomes more than the other way around. Come on. Coaches benefit from players more than the other way around. Let's please all agree with that.
Well, look, Andy Reid's a great coach. I think Andy Reid was a great coach before Mahomes.
Absolutely.
He was a great coach before Mahomes. Now, one of the knocks on Andy Reid before Mahomes was that he couldn't win the big one, right? Like, there was the stretch of the NFC title games in Philadelphia where he finally broke through and won one of those NFC title games, got to the Super Bowl, and then lost to Brady. But, like, he couldn't win some of those big games. It's amazing how you can all of a sudden win some of those big games when you've got the best player on the field. So, I think independent of who their coaches are, they both had really good coaches. Both had two of the greatest coaches that we've ever seen in the history of the game. But I think their play highlights that. Like, Bill Belichick is a great coach. But Bill Belichick's record without Tom Brady is right around 500. Like, it's just it's not all that great. So, like, to me, the coaching part of this, those two will always supersede whoever their coach is.
Absolutely. And there's always nuance with all this. I mean, Brady beat Mahomes. Brady's defense was dominant. They dominated the Chiefs. They dominated the bad Chiefs offensive, bad, but then also banged up Chiefs offensive line. The Chiefs could not do anything up front offensively in that Super Bowl. That's why the game was won. That's what won the game. But, you know, we'll just talk about Brady. Brady also beat Russell Wilson head-to-head. You know what he did? He stood on the sidelines and said, yes, they threw the ball on first down from the one. Oh, my God, I'm so happy. That's what he did. That's why we won that ring. Did he make plays in that Super Bowl? Sure.
Yeah.
But he was sitting there losing the Super Bowl, and Pete Carroll gave him a gift. So, and let's not even get into Kyle Shanahan.
That's true. Craig says.
He also won a bunch, and he was great.
Yeah, I mean, look, he lost one where he played the best he played in any of them. Like, he lost the Philly one
Yeah.
Where he threw for 550 yards in that game. Like, he was unbelievable.
And Nick Foles beat him.
Like, honestly.
Nick Foles.
Like, Brady, over the course of his career, it probably evened out in terms of the Super Bowls he should have won and should have lost. Like, you know, the David Tyree catch on the helmet. Like, they should have won that game. So it probably evened out with Brady over the course of his career in terms of the amount of Super Bowls that he should have won.
Yeah, but the David Tyree catch was a crazy play. But, like, the Seahawks, that is an all-time – that might be the worst coaching decision of all time. Right?
I understand that. But, like, again, he threw for 550 yards in a Super Bowl and they lost.
Yeah. Yeah. That one was crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, that was one of the best Super Bowls of all time.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
I'm just saying, in totality, it probably ended up at 7, probably where it should be.
But the Eagles – yeah, I hear you. But the Eagles – I mean, he should have won – like, if you tell me Tom Brady throws for 500 in a Super Bowl and Nick Foles is the other quarterback, I'm like, oh, okay, so they won by 40?
Exactly.
But, I mean – but that was one of those where, like, the Eagles just couldn't be stopped. That was – that like, that was
great,
also –
great coach game.
Well, seriously, that might be the best coach game ever. Like, I was, like, convinced – so Doug Peterson is the next genius in the NFL.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Jacksonville had that guy.
They did. Duval.
We'll continue this discussion coming up next. What does Mahomes have to do to surpass Brady as the GOAT? More coming up next. We'll get your thoughts on Bill Belichick's idea to rename the Super Bowl trophy after Tom Brady as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got some tickets to give away. A family four-pack of tickets to the Athletes Unlimited Professional Basketball Games coming up at the Nashville Municipal Auditorium on Wednesday, February the 5th. You'll get tickets to games 1 and 2, tip off at 5 o'clock. Stars playing include Alicia Clark, Sydney Colson, Lexi Brown, Jordan Hurston, Isabel Harrison, and more. Be caller 5, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, caller 5 will win a family four-pack of tickets to the Athletes Unlimited Professional Basketball Games coming up at Municipal Auditorium on Wednesday, February the 5th. Taking your thoughts on the Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes GOAT discussion. Dean from Old Hickory says, Mahomes doesn't have any cheating controversies. It's from Dean from Old Hickory. So maybe put him at the GOAT already.
I mean, I wasn't going to bring it up, but I don't think it's a terrible thing to bring up.
Patrick, have you deflated any footballs recently? Any drones and/or Spygate cameras that you found?
Yeah, no, that's on Bill. That's more of the Belichick. Yeah, look, the Deflategate thing. Again, it's like if you're a total Mahomes sycophant. I mean, not Mahomes. If you're a total Brady sycophant. Yeah, Roger Goodell. Or you know they beat the Colts by a million. Yeah, again, no one's saying that they would have lost the game, but I mean, look at all the circumstances of that situation and tell me that he didn't do something he shouldn't have done and then get rid of his phone. I mean, come on.
He would not do that.
He did do that. You know, so I mean, you know, look, is it the biggest deal in the world? No, but there's a reason that, you know, that they have those levels and there's a reason people want to deflate footballs when it's that cold out.
These discussions always are interesting to me too from this standpoint because some of this is just generational. Like, for some people who grew up watching Tom Brady play, now granted, growing up watching Tom Brady play lasted over the span of 20-plus years, so that's a long time. But there are some
people.
They
crossed over.
Yeah, like there are some people that it doesn't really matter what anybody else does. Tom Brady's always going to be the greatest of all time. Like, it's in some ways, it's similar to Jordan, right? Like, there are some people that it does not matter what anybody else does. Michael Jordan will always be the greatest basketball player of all time. That's why these discussions and arguments sometimes are fun because it is so subjective and there's different criteria that you can introduce if you want to. Like, it's a credit to Patrick Mahomes that he's 29 years old and we're having these discussions about him already. Like,
yeah, exactly.
It's unbelievable what he's doing.
Yeah, you never would have guessed that late in Brady's career that there'd be, you know, that there'd be anyone. It would take a long time, right, for somebody to enter the discussion. Evan says Mahomes has all the refs protecting him when he flops. And I will agree on the flop part.
He does flop.
He takes advantage of, you know, the way they protect quarterbacks today. But as far as the refs protecting him, go talk to like some Bills, Patriots, Jets fans about Brady and, you know, go talk to the Raiders about Brady and refs. This is always, whenever there's a great team, I think sometimes there are star calls and there are maybe great team calls.
Yep.
I think that's a thing. But trust me, you think that people weren't complaining about the refs and the Patriots when they were great?
Oh, for sure. It happened all the time. Now, I will say, I do think earlier in Brady's career, it was harder to play offense. Like, I think with what they allowed to happen, like some of the hits that they allowed over the middle, quite frankly, some of the hits they allowed on the quarterback, like, I think it was harder to play offense earlier in Brady's career. But that's the thing. Like, Brady's career spanned such a long period of time that he was pretty darn good in that era, and he was great in the next era, and you know, he got kind of both sides of it in this discussion, where Mahomes is not going to get that.
Yeah, and this gets a little bit into the NBA discussion, which I'm not going to go there because I always lose my mind yelling about how people don't realize that these NBA teams of today would destroy the NBA teams of the 80s, which I love. I won't go there. But if we're going to talk about quarterbacks, we could definitely talk about how they used to get hit, and that's a valid thing to bring up. And that's kind of like the NBA, right? It was way tougher.
Like, there's this play that Brady got hit on against, I think it was Buffalo, that keeps making the rounds all the times, where he like scrambles out and he gets his head taken off.
Gets blasted.
And I look at it now and I'm like, oh my God, they'd kick that guy out of the league. Right. And in that play, everybody just gets up and they go right back to the huddle. There's no flag.
I know. Yeah, no, for sure. And that is a fair thing to bring up. They got hit. It's also, you know, like, I'm not even this discussion, but just go back to other quarterbacks before Brady, you know. The game was different. I mean, how about my guy Dan Fouts? Can I bring up Dan Fouts in this?
Friend of the show.
That's right, friend of the show, Dan Fouts. But, you know, I mean, guys like that, you know, the numbers are not what they were at all. Most of Brady's career, the game had – like, Brady – so that team, what was that? Was that 06-07?
Yeah,
the Patriots team.
Yeah,
right?
07. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're talking about 6 years into his – or 7 years into his career, right? I think he was 2000 draft.
Yeah.
And at that point, I mean, that team was using air raid concepts. They'd taken all that stuff from Mike Leach. They were ahead of the curve with that. But, like, that was the type of passing offense and concepts that, like, the quarterbacks before him did not have. You know what I mean? So, like, the game – And they changed the league a lot, I think, with that season, and we've seen where it's gone in, and the rules have changed, all that stuff. I'm just saying, past quarterbacks also don't have the benefit of what today's game is. And again, I think Brady, mostly his career fits into the new era that way.
Well, also, there's a heck of an opportunity here for Mahomes, because quite frankly, like, it's really hard to play the quarterback position and do something that Tom Brady hasn't done. Like, there's just not a whole lot of things that Brady hasn't done. Well, he never won three in a row, and he's got an opportunity to win three in a row here, which I think factors into the discussion. And look, if they win three in a row, I mean, who are we going to be to sit here and doubt that they could do four in a row? Like, what if they come on some run here where they win four or five in a row? Like, at this point, I'm not discounting that as a possibility for him moving forward.
Right. And Craig says, if he gets that third straight, how much does that help? Yeah, I mean, I think if he said something Brady never did, sure. I mean, I think that's – winning this third straight would definitely be one of those things that, whether they do what you said or not, would be something that enters the argument. If, you know, if Mahomes ends up with five or six when he's done, well, Brady never won three straight. You know, it'll be argued forever and ever.
It will.
I mean, Brian says, different time, different game. No way Mahomes would survive the game of the Pat. Really? He wouldn't survive it? So were these quarterbacks from back then, they were like just cyborgs? I mean, look, they took crazy hits. There's no doubt.
Well, we all know Brady's a physical specimen.
Yeah. Pliable, as Vrabel said.
He is pliable.
Yeah, I think he'd survive it, man. Again, this gets into like, these NBA players, they'd go there and Rick Mahorn. They would have been dirty with him. They would have hit him, and they would have let a lot of stuff go, and they probably would have got up and then made a shot.
615.
They're not killing each other. This isn't Gladiator.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll take more of your thoughts on the Mahomes-Brady discussion. We'll also get into the Nashville Predators coming up next, a loss last night to Vancouver. So what is this going to look like for the Predators from now until the trade deadline? Who could be on the move? And a scenario that Adam Vingan and myself discussed yesterday that I think the Predators could be in position to take advantage of. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. We are taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. The Nashville Predators losing last night 3-1 to the Vancouver Canucks. So, Joe, after winning 5 in a row, Preds have now lost 2 in a row, and the offense has once again become a problem. Now, Saturday, they generated just a ton of attempts. I think they were over 80 shot attempts in that game Saturday against Anaheim, only got 2 to fall. Last night, I thought, you know, after the first period, they played pretty well again offensively, and they just couldn't score. They hit, like, 2 crossbars last night, and it felt like the same story that I could tell you about, I don't know, 20 other losses that they've had this year where they did some good things and ultimately they just could not score. And Thatcher Demko in Vancouver, who has struggled this year coming off the injury, looked like Thatcher Demko last night for Vancouver. So, again, the playoffs just are not happening. They put together a nice 5-game run, and really when you look at it, didn't make up any ground at all in the standings. Like, I think they were 14 points back when all that started, and right now they're 13 points back. So they've really not made up any ground after winning those 5 games in a row. Vancouver's back in a playoff spot after the win last night. And the playoffs, just with the math trickling away right now, just not happening. Like, it's going to take almost a legitimate miracle for the Predators to get into the playoffs. So having said that, NHL trade deadline is closer than the date would suggest. Now, it's, you know, the first week of March is the NHL trading deadline. That seems like it's still a pretty significant ways away. But you've got 5 more games if you're the Predators before the Four Nations tournament, where there's a 2-week break in the schedule where nothing's going to happen there. So we're getting pretty close to the trade deadline starting to become a pretty serious factor here. And it's going to be interesting to see how teams view this. We've already seen one massive trade in the NHL, which happened last week. Do teams want to go ahead and get ahead of the Four Nations break and have their roster set by the time they come out of it? Is it going to go all the way down to the deadline in March before teams start going crazy? I'm interested to see what happens there. But I think it's pretty clear Barry Trotz needs to be a seller. So who could be on the move between now and then? Gus Nyquist is a pretty easy contract that comes to mind. He's on an expiring deal. I think he could be on the move. Beyond that, would you consider trading a Colton Sissons? Would you consider trading a Jeremy Lauzon once he's healthy and gets back into the fold here? How, if you're Barry Trotz, Joe, looking at this, how deep down the roster are you willing to go in terms of a sell-off here if you're Barry Trotz?
That's a good question. I think that you have to me, be doing everything with the mindset of, well, next year is still in this window of built around these older guys and having to be good, trying to be good with really a lot of it is like as simple as hope.
Yeah.
Hope the start is better. Hope the goalie plays like we're paying the goalie to play. Hope a lot of things come together. So I guess I'm not doing anything drastic. The drastic sell-off was 2 years ago, right?
Yes.
I mean, unless you disagree. I mean,
no, I agree. I don't think you can do anything drastic. Yeah. Like, the other part of this is, like, the players that would fetch you significant returns here are all under trade protection and under contract. And in some of those cases, like, they're old and they're not going anywhere. Like, really, the one intriguing guy is, like, Ryan O'Reilly. Like, is Ryan O'Reilly a guy that you would consider moving, and what would it take to get it? Now, we talked about that specifically last week. You know, what would it take to get O'Reilly? I think somebody would have to just blow Barry Trotz away. And look, with Ryan O'Reilly at his age, I don't know that anybody's going to be willing to do that with 2 more years left on his contract. So I would say the chances of them moving on from O'Reilly are pretty small this year at the deadline. And then beyond that, like, you're not trading Forsberg, you're not trading Yossi, you're not trading Stamkos or Marchessault, both because you just signed them and because with their contracts right now, I don't know who's taking them. Brady Shea, you're not going to be able to trade because it's not going well for you right now. So you're just kind of stuck from that standpoint with a lot of these guys. Here's a a situation that if I'm the Predators, I would be and probably have been monitoring pretty closely. The team that just came in here last night is in their own version of a soap opera.
Right. Oh, yeah. Now.
They've got Elias Pettersson, who, as we know, is a great player and has been a great player for a pretty significant amount of time in this league at this point. He signed an 8-year deal with Vancouver where he's getting paid $11.6 million per year. So he's been a 100-point player in the league. He's 26 years old. He's a centerman. He's been paid a lot of money. He and JT Miller, who is also a great player, not getting along. To put it lightly.
Not having a great time.
It's been a wild year. JT Miller left the team for a couple of weeks for personal reasons. There were rumors that he and Pettersson weren't getting along, and they did their best to kind of shut that down. And then 2 days ago, their president of hockey ops, Jim Rutherford, basically came out there and aired everything out in the media. Said, yeah, there's a basically irreconcilable differences between Pettersson and Miller, and we're going to have to trade one of them, is what he said. So I think he's preparing the fans for a trade that is coming at some point. Now, maybe it doesn't happen this year. Maybe it happens in the offseason. But it looks like Vancouver's about to have to move one of JT Miller or Elias Pettersson at minimum. And he also talked about in that piece, like, if they get to a point where that messes with the team and it tears it down, then he's going to completely tear it down. And then you're talking maybe moving both of them and Quinn Hughes, which would just be, if I'm a Vancouver fan,
oh, great.
Unbelievable that you could that this could get to that point. What does that have to do with the Predators? Okay. How long have we been talking about finding a centerman around here?
Forever.
Since they've come here. How often does a 26-year-old 100-point player become available in the NHL?
Very rarely.
Not very often. Now, Pettersson is not perfect. And quite frankly, his play since he signed the contract, it's not been bad, but it's not been elite. Like, it hasn't been what they've paid for him to be.
I mean, he was a big disappointment against the Preds in the playoffs.
He was. So there, you have to keep that in mind. Now, how much of that is all this crap that's going on around them right now? I don't know. He's in year one right now of that 8-year deal. So you would have him under contract until you're 33. Now, there was reportedly a deal that was being worked on and in place to send Pettersson to Carolina before the Rantanen trade happened. So they've been shopping these guys around. I'm just saying, like, it's a lot of money. I think there's some flexibility that the Predators would have to find a way to create, and they'd have to get creative to do it because you're taking on a $11.6 million cap hit if that happens. But, we've been sitting here screaming about finding a centerman for the history of this franchise. Like, I think you'd be doing yourself a disservice if you're Barry Trotz and the Predators not to at least turn over every rock and see if you could find a way to pull this off with Vancouver and Pettersson.
Yeah. I mean, it would be huge. I guess when I look at those two guys, I think back to the playoff series. Like you said, it hasn't gone as well as hoped since the big deal. You tell me, you got a much better feel for that team, you know, in this league than I do. But it seems like JT Miller is kind of like the gritty, tougher guy
JT
that you
Miller.
Want. And Pettersson is sometimes maybe a little too finesse. And I don't know if that's part of the whole thing with them or whatever. But that's sort of been the thing, right?
JT Miller's a gamer. And he's in your face. And he's a little brash. He's a little surly.
He's in Alex Doherty's face when he tries to ask him a question.
He was. I got a front row seat to that yesterday. It was fun.
Yes.
He's also 31. JT Miller is 31, which is, I mean, it's not old, but he's not 26 entering his prime. So, look, I
could just see Trotz not being excited about some of the things about Pettersson.
I could see that, too. And, look, the way that Pettersson has played over the last year – it's concerning to me. Like, he's – before he signed the contract, I mean, the dude was a lock. I mean, in two seasons ago, he put up 102 points in 80 games. He scored, 39 goals, 63 assists. I mean, he was one of the best players in the league. And since then, like, last year, he was good. He scored 89 points. He had 34 goals. So you're talking about a guy that's flirting with 90 and 100 points every year. Like, you don't ignore that.
That's something that the Preds have never had.
Exactly. Now, this year, he's played 44 games. He's got 32 points. 11 goals, 21 assists. Like, it's okay. It ain't worth $11.6 million this year. But again, how much of that is this absolute circus that's going on around him?
And how responsible is he for the circus?
Exactly. These are all things that you'd have to look into. But I guess the larger point is, we keep talking about this path to find a centerman. And if you're not going to be horrible and draft a McDavid or a Bedard at the top of the draft, it's hard to find one. Well, this may be your opportunity to find one. Like, and you've got three first-round picks this year. You've got a good, you know, pipeline that you've developed here. I don't know exactly what Vancouver would be looking for in a return here. But the other part of this is, like, now, especially now that their president of hockey ops has just aired this out for everybody, like, they're not going to win this trade. Like, they're not going to get a satisfactory enough return for a JT Miller or a Pedersen at this point, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's not necessarily the best way to go about things before you again, they've been trying to move them, as you said already. But, yeah, look, I think it could be a great opportunity. And, you know, the O'Reilly talk, I've been of the mind of, like they're light at center, you know? Like,
yeah.
He can move to different parts of the lineup, but, like, you don't take away centerman right now from this team. But obviously, you know, if you were to make this move, could that be part of it, along with whatever else, all everything else that they want? You know, I mean, maybe that would make more sense.
Yeah. Now, again, you've got to find a way to get. I mean, $11.6 million cap hit is a heck of a deal to bring in here when you're already paying Stamkos and Marchessault, and those guys have trade protection, and Forsberg and Yossi and Shea. Like, they've got a lot of money tied up right now. So it's not going to be, like, the easiest thing to just be like, oh, yeah, bring him in. Because a lot of those guys I don't think are tradable either. So, like, how much money can you really move out of here if you're Barry Trotz? It's going to be interesting to see. Like, there are going to be a lot of people checking in on this. I would imagine ever since this Jim Rutherford thing has come out that the Canucks are fielding some calls right now. Is it worth it if you're Barry Trotz to throw your name in the hat for Pedersen?
100% to get into the conversation.
I think so too. Like, you could throw you could get into the conversation for Miller as well. I think a younger player would be nice. Like, that's the other part of this. And you brought up, you know, an article this week at The Athletic from Joe Smith. He did a nice job kind of like highlighting Steven Stamkos. There was another one at The Athletic earlier this week basically talking about how the Predators have gotten in this hole, and the concerning part about them getting out of it is they're old. Like, their forward core is old. So finding a way to thread that needle of making it a little younger while also bringing in a great player at the same time, I'd be trying to figure that one out if I was Barry Trotz. That's just me.
Yeah, I like it. We're in agreement.
What do you make of that idea that I've thrown out there? Should the Predators try to involve themselves in the Elias Pettersson sweepstakes out there for Vancouver? We'll take your thoughts on that. The Rob Rant coming up next. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us at 8 o'clock. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
Hold on. I have to interrupt you. People spell it like clenching your butt cheeks, you're saying? Like, who does that?
That's what we're saying.
Yes, exactly. I'm just saying that there are, you find out, it's like a little Easter egg. You find out who out there is spelling it the wrong way.
There's sunlight. There's a dog's ass. It hits it sometimes.
Son, you just listen to me. Things are going to be fine. That's really the general takeaway. It is that time of the day. Time for the Rob Rant here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. I have no idea what that first one was in reference to, but I don't even recall that conversation.
Neither do I, but we certainly talk butt a lot here.
Buns.
Yeah, this show is buns. Apologize to Kyle Tucker and his family, his kid. That Nick just replayed apparently made it into the Tucker. Yeah, asked me what that. He asked his dad what that meant. I apologize. I got to remember to say these things when the kids are all in school.
Yes,
that was from Alex Doherty talking about clenching versus clenching. Do you remember that?
The playoffs. Yes.
Yes.
Okay, I remember now.
Yeah, had to bring up hockey somehow. But kind of hard.
So did someone actually said, wow, we clenched a playoff spot?
Yes.
That actually happened?
Yeah.
Okay.
C-L-E-N-C-H.
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
Way to go.
Cool.
All right, so we've just brought up the Vancouver situation and, like, could the Predators put themselves in position to take advantage of that? We will get back into that conversation here momentarily. For 1 minute, how do we get to this point in professional sports? You've got a team that, number one, has been disappointing this year. The more that comes out about this, it's not hard to figure out why. Like, it's a disaster in that locker room. But you got a team that last year looked like they were on the verge of being one of the breakout teams in the West, right? Like, you've got Pettersson you just signed to your deal. You've got Quinn Hughes, who won the Norris Trophy last year and is having a better year this year than he did when he won the Norris Trophy last year. You got a goalie that you love. Now, he's been dealing with some injuries in Demko. And you've got JT Miller, who's still an elite player at age 31. And it looks like, Joe, they are on the verge of blowing this whole thing up. And if I'm a Vancouver fan, I'm sitting there throwing my hands up in the air and I'm saying, what could possibly have happened here where you guys can't put this behind you? Like, you know, there's only a few things in life, Joe, that I can think of where you, like, just can't get past it with somebody. Like, it's unbelievable. I don't want to speculate as to what's going on here because I don't know. But, like, I can't imagine what in the world's happened here where they've gotten to the point where the president of hockey ops is out in the media basically just being like, yeah, these guys have tried. We've tried to get this thing fixed, and it gets fixed for a little while, and then they just go back to hating each other again. So we're going to have to do something about this. Like, I don't know that I could recall seeing anything quite like this.
No, it's wild. I mean, for one, you could look at it a little bit like, you know, like is Rutherford. I mean, I think it was already like sort of out there, right? But like it almost seems like he's trying to blame everything on that. I mean, there are maybe other issues. But like you said, if it's really to that point, what the heck happened?
Yeah, I don't know.
And like Vancouver fans blaming one side or the other?
I think they're just they're mad at both of them.
Well, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. Like, what exactly happened here? Look, I've covered teams where relationships ended that had to do with significant – and again, I'm not saying this about this, but I'm just saying I have covered a team where very close players became enemies and it had to do with a significant other.
Yeah.
So I've seen that before.
That would be one of the situations that I'm referring to as, like, probably pretty tough to get past that one.
Yeah, there's, like, that, and I don't know what else, you know?
I don't know. Like, it's – it's why it, also, like, this is also a league where, like, they don't have enough drama. Like, there's not things like this that really happened in the NHL, which makes it weirder. Like, it's in some ways, like, we've talked about this, like, their stars need to be less boring, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
This is definitely not boring
it's
in Vancouver.
Not. But that's why I needed, when you and Alex were there talking to JT, I needed to say, yeah, that guy sucks, and I'm going to kick his ass if he walks by me today.
Well, look, I was leaving open the possibility last night that, you know, there's fights in hockey. I've never seen teammates fight each other, but I was leaving that door open last night.
That's amazing. I mean, it really is. But you're right. I mean, it's this league. I mean, we just had the Rantanen trade, so you have stuff like that.
Yeah,
that's fun. But like,
trades are fun.
But yeah, the personalities, you know, I'd love to know. I mean, I'd love to know exactly what all went down here. Like, I'm fascinated.
In the meantime,
Vancouver fans a year ago are like, uh-oh, we're coming here. This is happening.
Yeah.
And now it's going to get blown up in some way.
It's pretty crazy that it's gone down this way. Josh from Lebanon, would you be willing to part with a top five pick in this year's draft for Elias Pettersson? Where at in the top five? That would be my question. Like, is it number two? Number three?
Or number five.
Or number five. If it's number five, I probably would. If it's number two, I would not. That would be how I answer that.
Okay.
Because, just from the information that I have gathered, there are three guys in this draft that I think could be foundational players for your team. And if you have a chance to draft one of those, then I would rather draft one of those than pay $11.6 million to a 26-year-old.
Yeah. Okay, so that's your line. The line in the sand is pick four. Basically,
I think.
Okay.
Well, the problem is one of those three is a defenseman. So how do you feel about that? Now, again.
Well, they're not great there anymore.
They're not great there. And also, like, that defenseman, as I've talked about here on the show, and I just read another draft report about it last night, they're compared to Cale McCarr.
Cale McCarr.
It's like, okay, it's Cale McCarr. You know. I know people get like bored with the idea of a defenseman. If it's Kalen Carr,
that changes your team. Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. Is he likely to be the third pick?
I think it just depends on who gets the picks. Like, you know, if I'm San Jose, I'm probably taking him number one.
Yeah.
If I'm Chicago, then I probably need somebody with Bedard, and I'm taking one of the forwards. If I'm the Predators, I'm taking one of the forwards. So it just kind of depends.
Well, we know Chicago's getting the first pick, so, yeah, it really comes down to their choice, what they prefer.
Could be. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us. Coming up next, we'll get into the Titans and all things NFL with him. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.